episode of Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the usually quirky podcast that gives writing tips and life tips. I'm Carrie Jones, and with me today is the amazing Jessica Burkhart. Jessica is the author of the best-selling 20 book, which is amazing, I'm sorry, Canterbury Crest series, which has over 1.5 million copies in print in multiple languages. Her other works include the Unicorn Magic series and the standalone YA novel Wild Hearts. But she's also recently made her editorial debut with Life Inside My Mind. 31 authors share their personal struggles. Jessica, it is so good to have you here today.
Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. Jessica and I have known each other for a while, but not in real life. So I'm currently fangirling about how beautiful her voice is, which you will hear soon. And just fangirling that I get to talk to you.
Gosh, I'm fangirling right back. You guys, I'm speaking with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones.
Excuse me, bestselling 20 book Canterwood Crest series with 1.5 million copies.
Please, I fell in love with you back when Need came out. So this is just amazing and exciting for me. I'm so glad to be here.
You are amazing and exciting. And I'm so excited to have you here because I get to like probe your mind a little bit, which is super selfish of me, but
I'm here for it.
And ask you questions. And I think my first question is really about your anthology. I have made an anthology, and I know it's a lot of work and it's a labor of love and it's a whole different skill set than you use when you're a writer. What was it like? What got you started on Life Inside My Mind?
Well, as you know, putting together an anthology is really, really challenging. Like you said, it's a lot of work. You're corralling 25, 30 other authors, people with lives and other projects that they're working on and different personalities. And you're having to get them to meet deadlines and, you know, fit what you need, but also tell their stories. Yeah. And mental health is something incredibly personal to me because I've struggled with anxiety, depression, and attempting suicide a few times years ago. Yeah. So coming forward with this and sharing with my readers, I think it was important for me because I was afraid that so many of them saw me as the sparkly, pink-loving, super fun, hopefully friendly, tween, middle-grade YA author who didn't really have anything bad going on. Because I always tried to put up this front with them and project, I guess, who I thought they might have wanted me to be when inside I was really struggling. So it was important for me to tell my story and let these 30 other authors that I brought in tell their stories too, to let our readers know we are real people. We are struggling with things behind the scenes that they probably won't ever see, but we want them to know that it's not something to be ashamed of and we're coming forward with our stories.
Yeah. And you did it. So like the anthology is so well put together, and all the voices just come across as so authentic, you know.
Thank you.
Like, it's a really amazing feat. Like, and you have great authors in there. I mean, just wonderful human beings, and I'm just so impressed.
I think something of note is that we are still living in a day and age where there's so much stigma and fear and shame surrounding mental illness, because I went to a few authors that I know somehow, either through social media or maybe in real life, I know them. And they said, yes, I'm struggling with something, but I am terrified to come forward. I don't think I can do it because I'm afraid of how this could impact my career and my job. And so I said, respectful, of course, I understand, sure, you do not have to do this. And it's sad to me that we're living in a place where people don't feel as though they can share their stories if they want to and not face, you know, ramifications for it.
Yeah. And that just, you know, the people who, it says so much for the people who were in your anthology and how they were brave and courageous and vulnerable to share their stories. You know, it's a huge act of courage, and it shouldn't be.
Yes, exactly.
Was even when we were doing the anthology about bullying, there were people who had a very hard time in the anthology about it. And interestingly, the ones who had the hardest time and were the bravest almost, if you want to, I don't think you should make a hierarchy of brave, but who really, really had a hard time were the people telling stories in which they were not the ones who were bullied, but they were the bullies or the bystanders. And sure. That was interesting to me, too. Like, just how there's so many different aspects and elements in our lives and what who we are and things that we have and things that happen to us and that other people stigmatize.
Absolutely.
It's so frustrating. And I'm so excited that you created this, because it's so helpful to see someone, you know, that you look up to who does this, you know, who is open and authentic, and it creates a light. You created a light to follow.
Thank you. It was scary. I had talked in general terms before about having anxiety and depression, but I hadn't really touched on the suicide attempts or my background with addiction. And there was, I panicked when I sat down and wrote the story and thought, oh man, are people not going to want to work with me after I tell this story? Will there be some kind of issue with me in publishing if editors read this or agents read this? But I decided ultimately that I was coming forward with my truth, and I think the number of people that I could potentially help outweighed the anxiety and panic I was having about, could this potentially hurt my career? And I've seen nothing but positivity come from life inside my mind.
Yeah. And it hasn't hurt your career, has it?
It hasn't. Not that I'm aware of. No.
Yay. Which is the best thing.
Like, yes.
Because not only were you brave, you were able to tell your story in the way you wanted to tell it. So you took ownership of it, mm-hmm. and you faced those fears about doing that. That's so huge. It's like, I could fangirl about you about this forever, because it's such a big deal. It's such
a
big
deal. It feels good. It really does. And I highly encourage anyone, if they want to come forward with their stories, I think that they should tell them. It doesn't mean you have to publish them, but share them with others. And you never know how you could impact or help someone else.
Yeah. Like, I can't even think of how many people everyone in that book has helped with their stories. That's... Like, I was just talking to somebody, I was interviewing them, and they're a therapist, and they're just like, if I could just help one person, that's good enough. Mm-hmm. And you have already helped so many through that book and your other books. And I often ask people if it's a straight shot. Like, did you grow up thinking you wanted to be a writer, or did your path have bumps and detours? How, 'cause you've been writing for a while, and you're pretty young.
I'm getting older, but I started pretty young, but I never intended for this to be my career.
Really?
I actually was an equestrian first, and I thought that I would go all the way to the Olympics. That was my big dream. And I was obsessed with horses in every possible way. And when I was 8 or 9, I was diagnosed with scoliosis, or curvature of the spine. And as time went on, my spine just kept curving and bending until I was wearing a back brace 24 hours a day, and I was having trouble breathing, and I had a huge hump on the right side of my back. So I had to have spinal surgery, and that was back in 2000. And I was 13, and the first thing I asked the doctor was, okay, I'm going to have this life-saving surgery because my spine was pressing on my heart and my lungs, but when can I get back to riding? And he said, unfortunately, if you rode a horse and fell the wrong way, it could snap or damage the two titanium rods that he was putting in my spine, and I could be paralyzed. So that was the end of my riding career, of my competitive riding career at that moment. And my life just fell apart in that moment. All the dreams that I had were just dashed. And I just didn't know what to do. So it took a few years of thinking, how could I get back and find something that I loved? And I just started writing little short stories, anything but horses. I still didn't want to think about horses, no way. And then I heard about NaNoWriMo, or National Novel Writing Month, which is phenomenal and so much fun.
Yes.
And that was in 2006. And I thought, okay, I would love to try to write a book, but what do I write about? And then it started clicking. Oh, no, damn it. I'm going to write about horses, aren't I? And out of NaNoWriMo 06, Canerwood Crest was born. And it spawned a 20-book series all about that 13-year-old girl that I wished I could be chasing her equestrian dream.
That's amazing. And there's so much to unbox there. And I like that. It makes, I knew you knew horses, but it makes so much sense that that's how the book has such perfect details. You know, you can tell that the person writing this book knows horses, not someone who's never touched a horse in their life. Like you do that so well there. And
thank you.
It's so interesting to me that that's what you ended up doing. Like that story that you were kind of resisting became this 20 book series of amazingness and launched your writing career. That's stunning, really. That's pretty incredible. And I have a secret. My first book that I ever got published, I wrote in a mad rush in the 2006 National Novel Writing Month.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, we're like in synchronicity or something. Isn't that weird?
That's so cool. That is weird.
Yeah. Wow. I got excited when you said the year.
I love that. That's another connection. How cool.
Yeah, it came out the next year and it was like, it was a big deal thing. And yeah, that's so funny. Anyways, National Novel Writing Month is amazing.
It is. I love it so much.
Because it gave us your books along with you.
In your book, and it allows us to hopefully quiet that inner editor, that inner critic who can be so mean because you don't have time to let them surface when you have only 30 days to write this book.
No, and that critic is so evil. Mine is John Wayne.
Oh, gosh, man.
But like, he's so like forceful in my brain, you know, it's like, come on, little lady. You like got to do this. You suck if you don't do this. Like he's sort of like a hard, like a tough love inner critic. Honestly, I don't know why my brain is weird. But speaking of slightly weird, before I give you a chance to shout out something about yourself or National Novel Writing Month or whatever you want to talk about, I wanted to mention that your mom hates squirrels, but she gave you a chocolate squirrel for Easter. Can you help me out with that?
Yes, I can. It was the cutest thing ever. I have a group of squirrels, about six or seven now, that I've dubbed. I have the Weasley brothers. I have Dudley. I occasionally have Harry in my backyard. And Dudley, of course, is the portly squirrel. And they drive my mom nuts. They eat all the bird seed, but she continues to feed them every day because she knows I'd love to see them. Aww. And yes, for Easter, she got me a chocolate squirrel. It's the cutest thing.
That's so sweet. Did you eat it? Have you eaten it? Or is it
no,
like,
I don't know if I can. Yeah. It's so cute.
When I was little, I could never eat the bunnies. Like, and my mom would be always like, start with the ears. It's okay. Uh-huh. You won't hurt them. They're chocolate. And I'd be like, I can't. They're too cute.
I feel bad. So I think I'm just going to leave him for a while and see what happens.
That's so funny. It says a lot about who you are, I think.
I think so too.
And B, that you can't eat the chocolate squirrel yet. You're such a good human.
Well, thank you. I try, but he's just so cute. So he's just going to have to hang out in his little box and watch me from the counter, I think.
Have you named the chocolate squirrel?
I haven't yet, but I think I'll have to. So he can join my brood of real squirrels outside.
I wonder what would happen if, like, the real squirrels met the chocolate squirrel. Would they eat him? Like, would they just be confused? Like,
now you've set me up with an idea. I'll have to take him outside and see if I can get a picture of them with him. That would be epic.
I think it would be pretty epic. And you're amazingly epic. Thank you for spending time with us and for all the good that you do in this world. Because you do a lot of it in big and little ways. And every story that you've written is out there helping people, either to help them escape or to help them learn or to just give them something. And thank you so much for spending time and giving us the gift of you right now. And before we go, I do want to make sure that you have a shout out so that we can give back to you and learn more and maybe support you in your books. So
thank you. And thank you again for having me, Carrie, because your posts and tweets just bring me so much joy, whether it's a dog photo or something uplifting. So thank you. Anybody wants to check me out, they can follow me online at Jessica Burkhart. That's BURKHART.com. And I go same name on Twitter. I would love it if anybody would want to check out Cannerwood or Life Inside My Mind.
Yeah. And you're amazing. And everyone definitely should check those books out and your other ones too.
Thank you.
I hope that you have an amazing rest of your day and good luck with the chocolate squirrel versus real squirrels.
Thank you so much. I will post a pic if it happens.
Yes, I kind of want to know the end of the chocolate squirrel saga or the beginning of the chocolate squirrel.
Yes.
And thank you, Jessica. I really appreciate you hanging out with us today. And thank you for the good that you do.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It was a lot of fun.
Yay.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We really appreciate you listening to the podcast. You can find us everywhere. You've already found us once if you're listening now. And like Apple Music, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and more. Just Google Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Then like and subscribe. The notes to the podcast are also always on carriejonesbooks.blog. Carrie is spelled C-A-R-R-I-E. I realized I don't always tell people that. And we'd like a shout out. The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's the artist and what song is this? It's Night Owl by Broke for Free. And you can go to the podcast episode notes and find a link right to it.
Listen to that fantastic music all the time.
Yeah, man.
So, what do we got going on in our lives, love?
Well, right now, we've released the book, The Places We Hide, which is an adult mystery.
And it's good.
It's so good.
I mean, obviously I'm biased, but it truly is good.
John just thinks it's really good because the main character he thinks is him.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, possibly.
Also, I am doing a course. I've started a course.
A course. What kind of course?
It's a bit like a distance MFA program, and people get to hang out together.
Yeah.
In a Zoom chat once every month, and I give them feedback for their stories every month. They submit 20 pages, and there's a Facebook group, and we have a bunch of people already signed up, which is awesome. Because.
So it's like a writing course.
It's a writing course. That's also very supportive and helps build community. So you get direct feedback from me and love from other writers.
I know. Any course that you're involved with has the instructors more. There's also like a life coaching course.
That's very sweet.
Because you're so awesome.
That's very sweet.
I know.
There's more information about it on my website. Once again, carriejonesbooks.blog.
You can never say that too much.
carriejonesbooks.blog.
And what else are you doing, love?
Am I doing anything else?
Well, I mean,
sorry.
You edit people's work.
I'm teaching at the Writing Barn. I edit people's work. You can find me on Readsy. I'm writing my own books. What else are you doing, boo?
Me?
Yeah, man.
Oh, I'm just doing my regular work. But we are going to start formatting people's books also.
Woo!
And we will be doing print edition and
ebook. Ebooks. So we're all one.
Types of formatting styles.
Right. So you can come to us and we will clean up your grammar. Yeah,
full service.
Yeah, man.
Book prep / publishing house.
Yeah. Only thing we're not doing is cover design.
Yep.
Yep. Pretty cool.
Once again, that will have to land back in your on your desk, though, because unless people want stick figures for the covers all the time.
You've been the funniest cover ever. That'd be awesome.
Every book's a kid's book here.
Like Edie's font. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I'll do the Kama Sutra cover with stick figures.
No. It always goes back.
No, it's just an example of how it could be deceptive because it's stick figures, but you never know what's inside.
Anyways, we're going to end it here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We really appreciate it. And you stay healthy and strong, okay?
Yeah.
Because we need you in this world.
Stay strong.